It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All right, so I got a question for you.
Oh, okay, what is it?
All right, so you didn't listen to the rule of not going to the rooftop, and you have the option of boxing either Jason, Leatherface, or Michael Myers, or without any weapons. They don't have any weapons, or you have to go up against 10 children of the Corn, and they have blunt force weapons to fight for your life. Who are you fighting?
Give me the kids. Give me the kids all day, because ain't no way I'm getting my head blown off by Jason. Michael already shown that he can just kill me instantly. He is the weapon. And then Leatherface, I'm sorry, like, he's probably the only one who can potentially take, considering he's still human. But he got that broad strength. He got that that super killer strength, and I'm like, oh no, the children of the Corn, you said 10 of them?
10. They all have blunt force weapons.
Oh, easy. I can kill them all day. Like, I can beat one, grab his weapon, and then start going to town. Them kids can't take me.
I think for me, I would go against Michael Myers, because I saw what happened when the dude boxed Jason, and he was actually a boxer, and he literally got his head knocked off. Leatherface is a bit out of my weight class, so I don't think I would be too effective against him. And Children of the Corn, I'll get to it later, but I have a fear of kids jumping me, so. So we'll get to it from there. But just to introduce us, I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meech and Meech presents
the Blurred City Podcast.
All right, so we're going to have another fun one today. We're sticking with our Halloween-themed month. So today we are doing a deeper dive into slashers, which is both of our favorite subgenres of horror. So with that, just also as some housekeeping, what we're going to be doing next week is our Black Adam review, and that's going to be how we wrap up October. But before we get into the fun, we always hit you with the legal spiegel.
All right, so the purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources that we reference are owned by their respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own, with no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised.
Boom. Yeah, that thing is just ingrained in your brain at this point, I think.
It is muscle memory.
So how we start out, we're always going to get into what's hot, what's cracking. So, just thinking about when this episode comes out, it will be the second episode of Bleach, the Thousand-Year Blood War arc. Whew. Oh my goodness, just the hype. It felt like a family reunion when that came back. I was just like so emotional. Like, that show made me feel things that humans haven't in a long time.
Man, and when they showed that, I don't know if that was the ending or the intro, but when they showed them flashback clips, I'm like, I remember watching this on Tsunami, watching this on the Shueisha, watching this on Country Road back in the day.
Yes, I just remember, I would talk to my therapist, and he said that just because I wear a bathrobe and have a broom doesn't mean I can have a bankai. So that made me sad.
Thank Forget him. You got yourself a bomb concert.
So going from there, another hype one, Chainsaw Man. It definitely lived up to the hype. The best way to describe it is just get a bucket of red paint and throw it everywhere.
Yep. As a certain symbiote named Carnage once said, let's paint the town red.
So that's going to be a hype one. The animation for that is really fluid. Mm-hmm. It has the 3D elements to it, but I think it works really well.
Oh, yeah. Especially considering like the subject matter and like what you're going to see. Like, you going to definitely need some CGI touch up here and there.
Next one, Black Adam. By the time you're hearing this, it will be coming out in a day or within 2 days. She-Hulk finale, I thought the season finale was a brilliant episode. I thought the show overall was just like, okay, but compared to what we're going to talk about in a few, makes it look like Citizen Kane. But also, My Hero Academia 6, I know the Mirko fan fiction is about to go crazy with the bunny girl.
Oh no, but baby girl, she really out here. I'm just saying that now. We all stand Mirko. Number 5 hero is the number 1 hero in our hearts. So and all you incels, you better quit it.
And speaking of yes, because I know you hate furries, but speaking of number 1 in our hearts, we have Spy X Family. So that's really getting into it now. We have our good old friend joining the family. So yeah, definitely. Anything else you got?
Oh man, I think you touched up on most of it. Oh yeah, season 1 of Andor ended, and you'll be able to hear our thoughts on that when we talk about it in a future episode. But let's just say that let's see what else had happened. There's a certain movie that came out recently, and we're gonna talk about it in a bit, but I just refer to it as Halloween Ends, and that's all I'm gonna say right now.
Speaking of this movie, so originally we weren't going to have a Get It Off Your Chest segment. So let me just talk about my experience with Halloween Ends. So the first Halloween movie I really enjoyed. I thought it was actually a good bring back of the franchise. We've talked about requels numerous times, so it's like, yeah, this is a solid movie, what I would expect from Michael Myers, so forth and so on. Then one of my friends was like, hey, let's go to the movies, what's coming out? I looked at it, I was like, Black Adam comes out next week, so Halloween comes out this week, so let's check out Halloween. So I was like, okay, I'll watch Halloween Kills, because I hadn't seen the sequel. So I watched Halloween Kills, and I was like, oh, this is kind of shaky, but it's okay. It's what I would expect from a slasher film. It's not, you know, neat to, you know, Christopher Nolan Inception-style movie. And I got to the theater yesterday, and one, I have to say the reason why I don't like going to opening premieres, there are these teenagers that were shouting about reserved seats and wilding out, which is why I go to the theaters on the middle of the day most of the time. But going from there, so the movie starts, and when it ended, I was like, is this supposed to be a comedy? Because I've laughed a lot through this movie. So I don't know what I watched. I got out of it and I texted you. I was like, I'm perplexed by this movie. So yeah, just go ahead, because you said you had some thoughts.
All right, so firstly, I just want to let you know about what I did after watching the movie. So, this is about like 9 o'clock at night. Okay, I come back home, and you know what's the first thing I did? I watched myself a Friday the 13th movie.
Okay.
You wanna know why? Because of that ending made me go, man, you never see Jason getting caught up like that. I'm just saying. That's why I had to go. But yeah, so like when it comes to this movie, I thought it was fine throughout like a good portion of it. I say it was fine because the premise of it was kind of interesting and what I thought was actually happening. Then the ending comes around and it completely threw what I thought was going to happen just straight out the window. And I'm like, oh, you're doing that now. All right, well, just forget me. You guys seem to think you know what you're doing. All right, that's okay. And then it kept going. And then when the actual ending happened, I'm just like, no. Because I was like, sure, I get that it's a separate continuity, and you try to not make Michael supernatural, but y'all made him supernatural in Halloween Kills.
Absolutely.
And then you did it again at the beginning of this movie. So, what's the deal with this type of ending, huh? Because, I'm just saying, you guys seem to want to flip-flop between being supernatural and being human, and I'm just not with it. Just pick one and stick with it. Because at the end of the day, I just want consistency. And that ending was not consistent. Oh, let me bring this up. Let me tell you how the trailers basically gave you the entirety of the ending of the movie.
Yeah.
It literally, like, there was maybe one or two scenes extra that you got in the movie. Other than that, what you saw in the trailer is exactly what you saw in the movie. And I'm just like, bruh, really? Okay. And then, at the end, and I get why, I know who probably said it, Jamie Lee Curtis probably advocated for this specific ending, and I get it, because Laurie's been screwed over in three of the four continuities, in numerous ways, and I get that they want it to be, spoiler alert, they want it to be a happier ending, but bruh, I really thought that she was going to get got to life, but nope, she lived. I'm like, dang it, all right, you know what, it's fine, she can live, but the way that our boy got taken out.
So your problem was with the ending of the movie.
Pretty much.
I had a problem with 90% up to the ending of the movie. So this is to get actually talk about it. We're going to do mild spoilers because this movie was
trash. Sure, screw mild spoilers. We're doing full on spoilers.
So how it opens up, I'm like, okay, let's lock in. And what happened with the kid dying. I was like, okay, I'm here for it. This is going to be one of those movies.
I was like, R.I.P.
And then it talked about it. I was like, oh, him being a presence in Haddonfield, even though he left, is spreading like a disease.
Mm-hmm.
I like that concept and theory of it. And then, you know, her trying to move on, I kind of get that as well.
And I then actually had a problem with that, because...
Yeah, because he's still out there.
No. And also the fact that, like, okay, so for all your friends dying...
Yeah.
You decide to go completely insane for 40 years. But as soon as your daughter dies, then you calm down.
Yes.
Okay.
But also, so here's my room. So with Corey, how is he out of jail in 2 years?
Okay, so legally, they probably could have argued that it was,
they called it aggravated manslaughter. He got out in 2 years. If he was black, he would still be in jail.
See, what you're forgetting is, this specific term. It's called white privilege. And also the fact that he was a good kid, so he probably got released early.
Bro, they didn't even explain it well. They literally, he killed the kid, got arrested. Next time we saw him, he's out of jail. And it's like 2 years later. And I thought, like, okay, it'd be like, oh, his parents knew somebody that got him out of jail early or something like that. It was like, no, you're just free to go. And so, like, it follows his story. And the dialogue in this movie is terrible. It is some of the most unbelievable dialogue I have ever heard. Like, I was literally, I was with my friends, and we're just laughing because it's so, like, unrealistic. It doesn't even sound like two people talking with it. So then, like, all of a sudden, he's just like, oh, you know, I'm evil now. It's just like, what? How? And it's just like, oh my goodness, it was so bad. And, like, even the action, I was like, why are we following him? And, oh, another thing that I really, really hate in movies in general is, like, when people, like, the main protagonist, male, main protagonist, female, they instantly fall in love. He walked into the hospital, and she wanted to jump on him and, like and go animalistic. I was like, do you two know each other? Is there a flashback? Did you make an anime promise that you'd get married in 10 years?
And don't forget all the red flags she didn't straight up ignored.
I was like, are you kidding me? And then, like, he left her after one day. I was like, wait. And she's crying. She, like, holds her hands out. And I was like, do you want him to hold your hand? Like, are you going to just say that? Like, It felt like there's so many deleted scenes. And then he left and she's like crying and broken up. It's just like, oh, I fell for him. I'm like, you met him yesterday. How are you in love? So I was just like, so then he's like supernatural, he's not supernatural. Then like all of a sudden like he's just like his disciple, but then he wants to like, usurp Michael Myers. I'm like, what is happening here?
Hey, let's not forget about the scene where he jumps Michael.
Yeah. He literally like wrestles him. I'm like, how? That's why I said I would box Michael Myers. Like, what are we talking about here?
So here's my thing. Right, here's the reason why I'm like okay with like most of this, because here's what like my line of thinking was. Number one, it was the fact that like, okay, you see like how Michael Myers was super weak. Like he had that crip arm, he had that like twitching arm, you know. And then when he starts like, when he killed that cop, he started getting his groove back. He's like, oh yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Let's get it going. So I'm thinking like, okay, well, firstly, when he grabbed Corey in the tunnel, like, and then he looked at him directly in the eyes, like, all right, he didn't unleash the evil within him. And now he's slowly corrupting Corey. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, when he was killing that cop, he was getting rejuvenated. Mm-hmm. So you can tell like he was getting stronger from murking people. Kind of like, let's say, like a vampire, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, and Corey's getting corrupted. So my line of thinking was like, okay, so he's getting his strength back, and he's gonna go and like starts like slowly murdering people and corrupting Corey to basically be him, so that way like he does the same, and you're gonna see like a battle between the two of them, and then like you see Michael win, and then and that's that. Or like Michael does die, but you still have Corey who's still out there.
That's what I thought would happen.
And like Corey was still out there, and he's like, yeah, I am him now. And it's like basically like, okay, so you got the new Lori with Allison, and then the new Michael with Corey. No, that didn't happen. That didn't happen at all.
Can I say something? Allison should have died in this trilogy.
First, let me tell you this. There was at no point in this movie that you saw evil Corey facing Allison. And here's my thing. I thought like, okay, Allison's gonna like face this new evil version of Corey, and we're gonna see this new like either she gonna like bring him back with the power of love, which I hope didn't happen, and thankfully it didn't happen. Or like she's just gonna like write him off like, hey, he a lost cause and I'm gonna have to murk him.
I thought she was gonna join him because they had that scene in the diner where she was like, let's burn it all down, and he's like, I'll light the match, which was a very creepy scene if I just but then also when you knew that her coworker was sleeping with the boss, I was like, okay, that's gonna be the catalyst, because we saw her also breaking as well. But then like Corey somehow knew where they were going and whatever, and it was just like, oh my god, like this movie literally gave me a headache. Like I was just like, what happened? So we're gonna move forward because I don't want to give this any more time or life. This is why we don't do number rating systems, because this would be like a 3 to me, but it's a D tier.
Yeah, but as I say, like it's D tier, but I say it's still a lot better than some of the other trash Halloween movies.
Yeah, it's watchable. I would say that it's a watchable movie. It just leaves you perplexed.
Yes, like it's good, but like at least in my case, like it's good when you think like a certain thing's about to happen, and then the ending just decides to say, screw you. Mm.
Yes. So we're gonna move forward. We're gonna get into just kind of our deep dive of the slasher analysis and the characters that we love. Okay, so getting into our slasher analysis. So I watched Halloween Kills, and I remember texting you about how two characters just really let me down, and you responded that there is no locking in Haddonfield. So so nobody listened to the podcast last week, so we have to give you another warning. The first rule, number one, A1B, don't go there, don't touch anything. That's the number one rule. Get out of Haddonfield. Get out of wherever you're going. Don't touch anything. Number two. Well, this is just my spitting. Watch your kids, please. Don't let your kids run off. This is terrible parenting. This is the Rick and Lori Grimes Award. So,
Oh, you did not have to go there. You did. And don't forget rule number three. If you hear a noise, don't investigate.
No.
You hear the term curiosity killed the cat? Well, in horror movies, curiosity will kill you.
Yes. Another one that I learned from that Halloween Kills is if you're not she, he, they, her, him, or them, don't be a hero. A lot of people volunteered. They wanted the smoke. They got all of it. And they couldn't handle it. If you ain't got that dog in you, it's okay. Don't try to manufacture it.
And also, and just another thing about Halloween Kills, did you see like how unprepared some of them people were?
Bro, what?
This woman brought an iron to jump Michael. How? An iron, like you used to iron your clothes. She don't use that to jump him. A man brought a 2x4.
It's not even plugged in.
A man brought a 2x4.
Bro.
You know what? Rule number 5, lock in.
Lock in should be like number 2.
Just lock in. You know what it is. Follow your gut instinct.
Yes. Please. That'll keep you alive. Situational awareness. Another one. Just keep running. Again, if it's not in you, it's okay. Starscream said it best to Megatron. Sometimes it's okay to be a coward, because cowards live.
Exactly. Exactly. You ain't... Look. And this is something that actually got brought up in the Chucky series, is that, like, listen, nobody cares about, like, the victims. They only care about the number. And you don't want to be a number. They always remember the killer and how many people they kill, never who. So in other words, if you try to be a hero and die, no one gonna remember you. No one gonna know your name. So why bother?
Yes. There is no Alamo moment for you. Another one. Don't be a spectator. This goes with don't run. It also goes with lock in. So if you see the killer who is attacking someone and you're in the car with them and they're in the front seat and you're in the back seat, you either need to do some action and stop him or you need to run. You cannot sit there and watch. I know fight or flight kicks in and we get like the deer in the headlight syndrome. You gotta overcome it. That's where the lock-in in comes in. You have to overcome it. No matter how hard it is, because you don't have that much time. And yes, so that just goes with overcome your panic. It's going to happen. It's okay. It's natural. You can't be brave unless you're afraid. So, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a million more different things you got to remember. But once again, as I said, just main rule number one, lock in.
Please.
Just for everything good in this world. And just lock in. You know what you got to do. And let's keep on going.
All right, so going from there, we are going to get into the eras of slasher films. So, Meech, you want to take off with this one?
Oh, yes. So, the origins of the slasher films. These are pretty much like what you think of like with 10 slasher films, of course, a killer going out murking people. And like one of the first ones that you can ever think of is Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. You know, the old black and white film, that's pretty much like in the 70s, like that's pretty much what we consider the origin age. I pretty much broke them down into ages. The origin age, that's where you get Psycho, you got Black Christmas, and you got like one of the first pioneers is Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yep.
And like from there, like, hey, that opened up the gateway to the golden age. See, the golden age pretty much started with Halloween. That was the one that pretty much just thrusted slashers into the limelight. And that's where like you pretty much get every single slasher since then. Mm-hmm. So your Friday the 13th, you got your Nightmare on Elm Street. That's where pretty much everything like Bloody Halloween,
yep.
All of those movies that came out, pretty much every single slasher movie that came out in the early 80s, so like roughly 80 to 85, that is the golden age of slashers because there was so much creativity. Well, about as creative as you can get with a psycho murderer going around catching bodies with different things. But essentially, every last one of them will be will be like that's pretty much the golden age. Like right. like that's where you know the greats. And then comes the silver age. That's where like that's the later half of the 80s along with like half of the 90s. This is where sequelitis kicked in, because that was the era where you just seen sequel after sequel after sequel after sequel.
Bro, I looked at one of them because we had to do research for this. And I think it was Friday the 13th. I think the first one was either 1980. Like up to 87 or 88, there's a Friday the 13th movie every single year.
Yup. Oh yeah, because in slasher films, they're cheap to make and they garner huge profits.
Mm-hmm.
But also in that age, that's where you got the Child's Play franchise. That's where that started, and that's also where Candyman thrived and mm-hmm. came in. So he was in that silver age where you still got like some creative slashers that come in there, but like it was primarily dominated by sequels. I'm not gonna go cap.
Yeah,
but because of that, like slasher films started getting like a bad rap. Like they started seeing less profits, less returns because they started getting repetitive.
Yep.
I mean, come on, like Friday the 13th had like 8 films by that point.
A lot of diminishing returns.
Yeah, so then we get into the current age, which is the modern age. That's where Scream came in and decided to rejuvenate the entire slasher genre by giving it slightly more modern, slightly more what was it? Self-awareness to the slasher films. And this is somewhere like from that time up until like roughly the like mid-2000s, that's where like pretty much all the slashers that you could think of. In fact, horror movies in general got that self-treatment. Like the Final Destination franchise was pretty much self-awareness. And I kind of attributed that one to be like a supernatural slasher because of the slasher's death itself.
That's true.
But that was an asterisk. That was like
Final Destination messed me up because the way those people died was just like baffling.
Oh no, even to this day, I never drive behind a truck with logs.
No!
To this day.
Be careful on bridges.
Oh no, I'm like, no, that part, like, I don't get like terrified of, even planes, I don't get terrified of, but that Final Destination 2,
logs, yeah.
Just, that was the one that got me.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks it's the planes that get you. No, everybody thinks it's the roller coaster, or NASCAR, which, I mean, I'm black, so I don't go to NASCAR, but,
that one was wild.
Or the bridge, as you mentioned, but nah, it's the one that I do every day, and that's driving.
That's awesome, yeah.
So nah, but yeah, getting back into it, like pretty much like late 90s, so 96, that's when Scream came out, that's when everything was starting modernized, and then like you get to 2000s, and 2000s, that was pretty much the age, from the 2000s up to now, that's the age of the remakes and the requels. That's where you got like all the Platinum Doom, Michael Bay remakes, you know, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, which I actually love. That's where the Halloween remake came in, which mixed about.
Mm-hmm.
The Friday the 13th one, I thought was fine.
It was fine.
And then the Nightmare on Poop Street. I'm not gonna talk about that.
Ooh.
You got Child's Play.
Which is popular enough that it even got a... It got not only a remake, but then also a TV show.
Yeah, that was all due to like legal shenanigans for why that happened.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, because basically there was a whole thing where Don Mancini, the creator of Chucky, he was at war with the studios who basically own the rights to the Child's Play franchise. The Child's Play franchise, they wanted to do a remake, but Don Mancini, he wants to continue the original story.
Mm.
So they went to war, and that's why the Chucky TV series, it's not called Child's Play anymore. Or none of the movies past Bride of Chucky is called Child's Play.
Oh. That's right, because there's a Bride of Chucky, there's a Cult of Chucky, which is terrible. And
Cult, Curse, and Seed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, those are called the blank of Chucky. And then the Chucky TV series, but then
the new remake was
Child's Play.
I didn't know. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. But that Child's Play remake,
I heard it was not good at all. Oh, speaking of that, now that I think about AI, we missed one for What's Hot. So a trailer that's going crazy.
Oh, Lord.
Megan.
Oh, Lord. I wanted to bring it. Oh, I thought I was going to slide now. Oh.
Ooh, that, I might actually see that.
I will say, look, here's the thing. All I have to say is, like, I said this on one of my friends' Twitter. I said, if I ever catch, like, a doll or girl TikTok K-pop dancing on me as I'm dying, I would legit get so upset. I'd either get a second wind or I literally just come back from the dead, because that type of rage would be enough.
Yo, she was starting on her with the dances. I was like, oh, okay. I hope that's good, even though you said it's in the January, February, that's the dead zone. So, but I think there's hope for it, because I remember, this isn't really a horror movie, but the new Invisible Man movie was a February movie when it came out, and I thought that was pretty good.
And also, Scream 5 actually came out in January, too. So more and more good stuff is coming out.
Well, 95% is trash, and the 5% is good.
Like more and more good, but that doesn't save it from being called the dead zone.
Right. So with the eras, we're all caught up. We're gonna briefly shoot through some tropes, and then we're gonna get into our separate slashes.
Yeah.
So kicking it off, what you mentioned with Michael Myers, the killer goes supernatural.
Yep, that's basically where sometimes in horror movies where a killer may start off like as a normal human, but over time, especially as they get more and more sequels, they gotta bring reasons to bring that killer back. Mm-hmm. So
Druids.
Yeah. So hey, we're gonna have like them getting cursed or they get brought back from the dead by like the voodoo priest or mm-hmm. anything like that. So yeah, that's where you get the killer becomes a supernatural entity if they weren't one from the start.
Yeah. So for our next one, Tripping Over Nothing, which we covered last week, sex equals death, which is just kind of explanatory for any horror movie if you've seen it. Next one, Following Noise, another warning that we just gave you. The Please Die character, go for that one.
Oh yes. This is typically the character that just from the outset, like you hate them, like you just want them to go so badly, and that's why we have an award based on this specific trope, because some people, they just deserve it. Like when you want to see them die, and then they get their comeuppance, it's like a breath of fresh air. You're just like, yes,
mm-hmm.
get some euphoria from that.
All right, so then we have the final girl.
Obviously, that's pretty much the final person who gets to live throughout the movies. You know, that's the last person standing. Most 99% of the time, it's the virgin female. Though nowadays, it's starting to like widen up. You know, from them not having to be a virgin to actually having a guy be the final one, or even having it be in a couple that gets away in the end. But
over the course of the movie, they do find that dog in him, so they lock in. They have the time to.
Yeah.
Next one, which is really sad one, Doom Comic Relief. This happens in a lot of movies, because I just saw a movie that I'm not gonna spoil it because it's actually a really good movie, but like a character that was really, really funny that you connect with, and then they ended up dying. So why do you think they do this? Is it because like that's the character that we build an emotional connection with, so when we lose them, like it hurts the most or something like that?
Yes, it's a combination of that, and yes, it also proves like, hey, life happens. Like you ain't gonna, it's like not everybody's gonna be able to make it. And sometimes, like, the comic relief character, like, even though they are the comedic one, the one that you like the most, sometimes they even make the stupidest decisions as well, which brings up, like, the Friday the 13th remake where you had the two stoner characters, and they were hilarious, but both of them decide on their own to go out into the woods
mm-hmm.
where Jason was, and you're just like, please, no. Not them. Anyone but them.
Yeah, so going from there, we have the dramatic unmasking, which any horror movie with anyone with a mask, there is that moment where they attempt to take off the mask, and then they'll be like, the music plays, and you're like, oh my god, this character is hideous, or kind of like that. So think of also Predator, even though it's not a slasher, but going from there, little to no authority figure. This was an interesting one.
Yeah, so if you notice throughout like most of like slasher films, especially the one in the 80s, it's primarily teenagers, and you almost never see parents or adults or cops. And if you do see them, they die immediately.
They get wiped out.
Like, they RIP. And that's because of the fact, like, the demographic were teenagers. These were the primary demographic of horror movies. And to see, like, an adult come in and fix the problem, that poses a problem.
That's true.
And that way, like, it shows, like, hey, and what better way than to stoke fear and to inject fear into the lives of the people is, like, you are on your own.
That's true.
And nobody's coming to save you.
Or, yeah, and in a lot of cases, the authority figures don't believe you. For one of them, we'll touch on it later, but the Nightmare on Elm Street. One of the greatest endings to a movie. So going from there, black guy dies first, which we've covered a lot. Next one, indestructible killer. This is literally almost every slasher movie that has a mask. Next one, killer more popular than the characters. So true.
Oh yeah. So basically this one, it's literally that. It's just like over time, like serial killers have somewhat become like popular icons, if you will. Like similar to like a James Bond or like your Superman, you get basically that for the horror movie villains. Like sometimes like the killers like Jason Voorhees or Michael Myers, they're so iconic, or Darth Vader, they're so iconic that you start to root for them more than the characters sometimes. Or even better is that sometimes you don't even go to the movie to see how the characters will get out. Instead, you go, and this is probably applying to me specifically. Actually, it does apply to me specifically. Go to see how these characters are going to get murked by our favorite killer.
Yeah. And then for the final one, vehicles, cell phones, technology are useless. They either don't start up, don't work, can't make a call, or no signal.
Or sabotage.
That is true. So going from there, we're going to go into our breakdown of the individual killer slashers and their categories. All right, so we are going to get into the GOAT, Jason Voorhees, Friday the 13th. Let us have it.
Oh, let's get into my boy Jason, all right? So firstly, we're going to talk about these categories that we got, which this category is called Silent but Deadly. Uh-huh. Reason why? Hey, these killers, they never talk. We're going to talk about Jason today. Jason Voorhees, our favorite boy, a bullied kid down at Camp Crystal Lake. These kids are so terrible that they pushed him into the lake knowing he couldn't swim, and then he drowns. His mother decides to go crazy and then starts murking people.
Don't forget that the counselors could have saved him, but one of the tropes.
Yes, but of course, sex equals death and a little to no authority figure, where they were all making some passionate love, but that's how mom goes crazy, kills everybody, and of course, the final girl, Alice, chops her head off, but unbeknownst to her, Jason was there looking on, and that's when his origin as a serial killer comes out.
Bro, it's crazy because since, like, obviously we were both born in the 90s, so I saw the other Friday the 13th movies before I saw the first one. And so, like, I was like, okay, Jason has the mask. He was the actual killer in a lot of them. For this one, when I watched it, like, throughout the movie, they never show who's actually doing the killing. And then towards the end, they show us the mom, and I was like, yo, this is really brilliant. Like, I love how they did that.
Yeah, it kind of was so for me because I actually, well, thanks to my sister, we watched them in order. So us, like, I knew Pamela was the killer first, and then was with the rest of the audience when we found out Jason's number two. Mm-hmm. Number two in terms of the killer, number one in our hearts, I'm just saying. But when it comes to Jason, right, the thing that, like, that's about him is that, like, he was big, he was burly, and he could take a lot of hits. Mm-hmm. That second movie had him in the Town That Dreaded Sundown potato sack. And he starts murking people. And the thing about him is that, like, he murks people in incredible and interesting ways. But of course, it does not last forever, as our boy gets murked, mm-hmm. got put on a t-shirt, and then he comes. But as I mentioned in this killer becomes supernatural, he comes back as a zombie, and that's when his creativity decides to go through the roof. My boy.
The one in, it's not my favorite, but it's one of the most memorable, but the one in Freddy vs. Jason, where I think it's his first kill, where the dude's on the bed.
Yes.
And he stabs him, and then he takes, like, one half of the bed and the other half, and he folds it up.
Yep.
I was like, oh, no.
I was like, yep. That's how I know. I was like, yeah, Jason is in pure form.
Yes. I think I really like Jason because one, Jason is the one that has given me the most nightmares when I was younger. Too, but he also has a clear, defined reason for why he kills people. If you go to Camp Crystal Lake, he's going to take you out. It does not matter who you are. And if you, like, even if you leave Camp Crystal Lake, kind of like Jason goes to Manhattan, he's, like, direct focus path. If you don't get in his way, he won't necessarily take you out, but you literally need to stay out of his way.
Yeah, it's all because of the fact, like, hey, you all killed my moms, so yes. I'm going to kill all of you. Mm-hmm. And you step onto my turf, you getting taken out, you getting put on t-shirts. And of course, like, his appearance is always amazing, especially when he gets his hockey mask. It's perhaps, like, one of the most iconic things in, like, in horror media.
Absolutely.
It's, like, it's actually an entire trope called Hockey Mask and Chainsaw, which... Mm. Ironically, Jason has never used a chainsaw, but hey, the iconography is there.
Oh, do you recall which movie he got his hockey mask? Cause...
The third one. Mm-hmm. Yes, so he started with that potato sack, he transfers to the hockey mask in the third one, and it stuck.
Yes.
Thank you to the production artist on the third one. But yeah, so Jason's just out here, he murks people on the path, and yeah, he only got rebooted one time, and that's... It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Based on the success of the Halloween trilogies, I think that they're going to try to most likely reboot Jason again, which I wouldn't mind because I really liked that one. I also like Jason X, which Jason X was just kind of funny to me, but it was also really cool just to see that. And he had the whole new, like, updated look and stuff like that. So,
yep.
So, yeah.
And best thing is that he was played by renowned actor Kane Hodder for four of the films, because every movie, it was a different person, but Kane Hodder played him for four of the films, plus the video game.
Oh, boy,
I still play that video game to this day. I'm not even going to care. But yeah, it's like, he is the definitive Jason Voorhees. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I got to say about him.
All right, next, to Michael Myers, or as we saw in the movies, The Shape.
All right, so The Shape. Michael Audrey Myers, you know the story. One day you probably don't know the story because of the fact that he's been rebooted like four different times.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about his movies. Like, he got rebooted so much. Of course, he, at 6 years old, murks his older sister, stays in asylum for 15 years, breaks out, and returns to Haddonfield to murk again.
Yep.
But the motivations as to why he kills is different depending on which continuity you live in. So he has four different continuities because the Halloween franchise is that convoluted.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the first continuity, which is like 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, which is the cults series.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get the H2O, which is 1, 2, H2O and Resurrection. And then after that, you got the Rob Zombie flick remakes, which is his Halloween and then Halloween 2. And then finally, the one that just wrapped up is the H4O trilogy. The H4O series, which is the first Halloween, Halloween 2018, Halloween Kills, and Halloween Ends.
Mm-hmm.
So But the thing about him is that, like, he pioneered the silent but deadly. He, of course, has that stark white Captain Kirk mask, which I don't know how it keeps surviving to this day, but hey. Yeah. But hey, and he just, you know, if you're a babysitter in his town, he gonna kill you.
Best of luck.
R.I.P.
So going from there, we're going to kind of shoot through these, but we have Jeepers Creepers, which is technically not a slasher because he's kind of a supernatural being. But Jeepers Creepers 1 and 2, which are the only Jeepers Creepers movies that exist.
Yep.
The first one, absolutely incredible. Just like the terror of it. I really like the old school like horror movies because with the like cheaper production that they have to use, they make use of just like the fear of it, so you don't see it a lot, so it kind of builds up. It's not really a trope, but it's kind of like a technique where it's like, if you don't see the killer or you don't know what's out there, then it like makes it terrifying to your instincts. And Jeepers Creepers 2, where the bus scene, oh my gosh, that was so incredible.
You know what's funny? I actually love Jeepers Creepers 2 more than the first
Same. I like Jeepers Creepers 2 more than the first.
And it's only because of the fact that he just goes rogue throughout the entire movie and being stuck on a bus, because I've been there.
Boy.
And there was one time where, like, I'm driving back home from college and then I see a bus, like broke down on the road, and then I just spin. Went, nope, not today.
What was it, abandoned by cornfields and stuff?
Yeah, it wasn't cornfields, it was just open plains on like one side of me. And it was at night too, so I was like, I'm gone. That's how you know it got me, because even to this day, if I see broken down bus, middle of nowhere, darkness, and open plains to one side of me, I'm out.
You were locked in.
Yep.
And you didn't go there.
Yep.
Okay.
Kept going.
So for the next three, you want to pick them?
Oh, yeah. So you got Victor Crowley, who's from the Hatchet films, and directed by Adam Green. He was also played by Kane Hodder. He pretty much is the spiritual successor to Jason. Essentially, like, pretty much similar origin, you know, bullied kid, dies, come back, vengeful spirit, step in his turf, you get murked.
Ugly face.
Yep, ugly as mug, but yeah, he's pretty much like, yeah, silent killer, and the only screams that you hear is the screams of his victims, and him whenever he's just wanting to, like, just terrify you. But yeah, he's pretty much like your Jason Copcat. Next one is the Maniac Cop, Matt Cordell, from the titular Maniac Cop series. Another killer ghost in the natural, because he was completely human in the first movie and then not so much in the second and third. Thing about him is that he looked fairly normal and then he became utterly ugly in the subsequent ones as he became a zombie. So I'm like, it's crazy. And also, Bruce Campbell was in the first movie.
Ooh.
So, yeah. And then next one is the Mind Killer from My Bloody Valentine. An origin in the sense of like, hey, there was a tragedy that happened on Valentine's Day, and you guys decided to celebrate on that day, so I gotta come back and murk you. Mm-hmm. Was he supernatural? Absolutely not. but you know, he is what it is. And then, but the last one on this list for Silent But Deadly is The Fisherman from I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Iconic movie.
Yep, very iconic, part of the modern age. And you decide to murk him or his son, depending on which version you're looking at. You decide to and cover it up, hey, you gotta come back to mark you.
Yeah. I remember like last year when I was writing my thriller mystery book that I needed to watch this movie to like get some inspiration, and wow, this movie is really good. I Know What You Did Last Summer, the first one. I mean, the characters again are very unlikable, but definitely he was just like, yeah, oh, so that's what's gonna happen.
Yep.
Bet.
Yep. And unfortunately, another case of killer ghost supernatural because of the third movie. But we do not acknowledge the third movie, because that one was direct to video.
For the next category, we have talk is cheap, but their methods are deadly. So this one goes with killers that are very talkative, like to kind of have fun with their victims, and or just kind of like they don't use a lot of words, but it's very effective. But also their methods are wild. So one of the biggest talkers, probably number two most popular slasher, Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Ooh, yeah.
Is it safe to say that number two?
I'll say he's two or three. He's one of them,
mm-hmm.
depending on like where you put a third in somebody. But yeah, Freddy Krueger, he's very interesting as a killer. Considering the fact that he was a killer in life,
yeah,
and potential child abuser. He's one of the more talkative characters because of the fact like, hey, he likes toying with his victims. He's one of those like, and he's also, in my opinion, one of the most terrifying because of the fact like, hey, he gets you in your dreams. Like, and the thing is, we all gotta go to sleep.
You gotta go to sleep. Like, even like in the movies, you'll see like, oh, I'm gonna stay up for 72 hours and I'm gonna take all these pills. Like, your body will literally shut down if you try to stay awake too long.
Yep. And it's actually crazy considering the story he's based on, like how Wes Craven, like he saw in the news about this guy who stayed up for like a super long period of time. And then when he finally went to sleep, he had like a nightmare so terrible that like when everybody came to check up on him, he was dead. So that was one of the inspirations of Freddy. And yes, he's one of the most iconic. He's also a face killer because he doesn't wear a mask. And well, I guess technically his mask is his burnt face, but
I would say he has one of the most other than Jason and Michael Myers, he has the most iconic costume.
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, the razor gloves,
the hat, sweater.
You got yourself a Freddy right there. It's crazy that we get to root for a child EDP.
We root. I don't root for Freddy.
Look. In his movies, most of the characters, 99% of them are likable, so I root for him to kill them. So
that's
about it. If he goes up against anybody else, he is persona non grata.
Yo, like Freddy is like terrifying because like since he's in a dream, he controls the dream and like he just uses like the terror of it. And what I really love about these movies is that like the transition between when you're awake and when you're sleeping is so subtle. And then like sometimes they don't show it, but like it'll be like, oh, I remember the one they were chilling in the bathtub and then trying to stay awake, and then all of a sudden Freddy was right there, and just like that is so terrifying.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like you, like his kills are super creative because of the fact like he's based on dreams, so he has to be creative in the world. So it's like, and as you mentioned, like the subtlety of like when you're awake and when you're asleep, and like you don't know if a character's awake until things pop off. And in my opinion, I think like he probably has some of the most inconsistent like ways of dying,
yeah,
or ways of getting defeated, because every single movie the method was different. But besides that, like he's one of the great ones.
I really love the first one, how they did it, because it's like, hey, we have to take him out of the dream world. And again, like with the iconic ending where it's like, oh, we defeated him. And then all of a sudden the car transforms. You see like the sweater top on the car, and the mom just gets
ragdolled into the window.
Quite literally. And then Freddy versus Jason. I love that movie. I wish they would make another one. I think I read a comic actually, and it was Freddy versus Jason versus Ashes of the Dead. Yeah, so you know.
Yes, sir.
I really hope they make a movie about it because that was incredible.
Yes, sir. I loved that movie so much. Like, after it came out, like, I got my first phone. My ringtone was, like, the theme of that movie, which starts off as the Freddy thing and then goes into the Jason theme. And it was like, yeah, nah, I need that. I need that for my thing, but for my ringtone. So, and love that movie to death, like so much so, like even to this day, like I will rewatch it just because, like, I don't even care about the characters.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I didn't care about any of the characters in that movie.
It was iconic, yeah.
All I care is about Freddy, Jason and them fighting.
It was literally like 20 plus years in the making. Oh, I think there was one Friday the 13th movie that teased it.
Yes, it was Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday, which was part 9. Mm-hmm. That teased it.
So yeah, definitely I hope they make another one if they can get Freddy right. So for the next one, Ghostface, Scream.
Ah, yes, so Ghostface. This one's actually perhaps one of the big ones that we get to talk about because of the fact that it's not particularly one person, but instead it's a title or mantle that like multiple people have used. So like in the case of the Scream series, like every single movie in that franchise had a different Ghostface, had a different person underneath that mask. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing is the fact that there was always at least two. Except for the third one. But the third one's weird because of executive meddling. Because the fact, like, that one intended to have two, and you saw that it had two, mm-hmm. and then they just made it one, which made no sense whatsoever, but I'm not going to get into the third one. But the thing about Ghostface is that, like in all the movies, they all have pretty much the same methods, which was, hey, stalk you, like, it would stalk you, he would call you over the phone, or he or she, like, they'd call you on the phone and just pretty much terrify you, and then, like, hey, once he suspiciously taunted you, made you terrified, so where you start making mistakes, boom, there you go, and Ghostface murks you. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's and the motivations for each Ghostface is pretty much different for each movie because different person. And again, most consistent thing is like murder methods, like what they murdered you with, which is that signature knife and then that signature appearance. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. That's definitely kind of, it's funny. I think I saw a Scary Movie first before I saw Scream.
Thanks.
So every time I see Scream, I'm like, is this supposed to be a Halloween movie? What? So that's definitely kind of, and I really love the parody aspect of the first one where it's like the dude is like literally calling out the tropes as he sees them throughout until he discovers it.
Yep.
So just going to our next set of slashers.
Yep. So first one is pretty much the evil Santa in Silent Night, Deadly Night. That's pretty much where pretty much a mentally unstable person dresses up as Santa, starts killing people around Christmas time. Boom. There you go. That's pretty much that. Next one is actually one of my favorites. Leslie Vernon from Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon. That one's like a parody type of movie. Well, it starts off as a parody and then it becomes real because of the fact, like, it's basically about this guy who's aspiring to be like Jason, Michael, Freddy, all of them. Goes through all the tropes of the movies. You see him like training, see him doing like his running to where, like, all right, he says, like, I need to have my cardio at maximum potential because, like, you see all these serial killers walking while their people are running and he still catches them. It's like, how in the world are they supposed to do that? Like, he is super likable, but then when it's time for him to start killing and then he puts on his mask, bruh, he is out here terrifying. But yeah, love that movie. If you haven't seen it, you better go see it. And then finally, we have Norman Nordstrom from Don't Breathe. Whew. Super,
that's an intense movie.
Super intense, like, it was like, Alan had me to where, like, I held my breath throughout, like, most of that movie.
That makes sense.
It's like, as soon as I see him all by, like,
and just, of course, he had a Cujo dog with him, so.
Yeah, why didn't we put Cujo on the first place? Cujo caught more bodies than expected.
Alright, so going to the next one, we have the Don't Say My Name, which is a rule, and then Killers with Gimmicks. So the first one being Candyman.
Danielle Robitaille, Tony Todd himself. Scream to the Yumptious. There are only two movies in that franchise, which is kind of crazy. Firstly, he's the only killer on this list that's a brother. And then secondly, his whole thing is that he's basically Bloody Mary. because his origins, that like he's a slave, fell in love with a white woman, which as you all know, that immediately gets you murked, gets you put on a t-shirt, and how he got put on a t-shirt, it's actually kind of horrifying, you know? Slathered honey on him, where bees stung him to death, chopped his hand off, replaced it with a hook. Mm. And the whole thing about the Candyman was the fact that like, he's Bloody Mary, say his name 5 times in a mirror, then R.I.P.
Yeah, goodbye.
And also the fact that like it's basically urban legends. So like that was the whole story. I love the two movies in there, the original and then the requel by Jordan Peele. So you already knew you were on one. Love those movies to death because Candyman, like he's so that baritone voice, like it just has you in a trance.
Yes.
And I ain't gonna lie, I was like, let me be Candyman, please. I need that type of voice.
Cool. So going to our next one.
Alright, next one is actually the Urban Legends Killers in the Urban Legends duology. Similar to Candyman, and except in the sense of this is an actual person or people who kill people based on like certain urban legends. So, you know, like Bloody Mary, say name 3 times in the mirror and person gets killed by an actual person. Or that one where it's like roommate comes into the apartment, don't turn the lights on, go to bed, wake up, turn the lights on, and roommate's dead. Mm-hmm. Like put on t-shirt and blood, so like don't turn lights on. Or like the don't check under the bed type of urban legends, you know, or the killer with the hood. All those, like the reason I put that on there on the Killers with Gimmicks, because the whole gimmick is urban legend based.
Right.
And like, think of all of the like killers or urban legends or horror stories that you've like perhaps heard about or like read about, and the killers pretty much killed you in that type of way. Even the kid, even like the steal your kidney and the bathtub of ice type of deal. And yeah, but then there's the last one.
Yes.
Oh boy, and this one comes with asterisks. It's Pinhead.
Or Hellraiser. From the Hellraiser series.
As I said, he's considered, technically, he becomes a serial killer later on, even though he's still supernatural. As you tell, he's the original Pinhead, the one played by Doug Bradley. Because I'm not
a Pinhead.
Oh, I'm not talking about the remake, because like that one just released, and I actually find that one to be a fairly good movie. But Doug Bradley, he was Elliot Spencer, he was part of the Great War, he found the puzzle box, because that was the gimmick, is like, you open up the puzzle box, and then, R.I.P.
Yeah, he made a contract.
Yep, he made a contract with the Cenobites in Hell, and R.I.P., you done.
Yep.
And the thing about him is that, like, of course he killed you with his chains, to make sure you experience both pain and pleasure. It's kind of disturbing, but and the thing is that like he's not even the main villain of the first movie, which is kind of crazy, but he takes the spotlight in all of the subsequent ones, even in this newest one, which is more based on the book that was based on, so the Pinhead in that one's more female than male, even still more iconic. I'm like, okay,
definitely gonna check that out. Okay, so now we have dangerous things come in small packages. So obviously we have Chucky, who is probably a top 5 villain of all time.
Easy.
Yeah, so just like getting his own TV show, that tells you all you kind of need to know. Iconic. He has some of the most creative kills. Just the doll aspect of it, where it's like, it's not, it's like, one, he attacks kids mostly. So in order to take over their body. Since he was previously a human in his past life, and just with that, they don't believe you, and then it's like it makes it look like you're crazy. So like the first 2 to 3 Child's Play movies are absolutely incredible. I love Child's Play 2 on just a different level, just because like the relationship between the young bro and the sister, so then even going from there, just really iconic. So Children of the Corn, like I said, touched on, I have a fear because of this movie of children attacking me. So real talk, when I was a camp counselor, I want to say I was like in my early 20s, or as like late teens. So I was like helping these, I want to say the first sake, they were like 5 and 6 year olds. And I was like really cool with them or whatever. So then I remember like one time I was just like hiding from them, and like I was hiding behind this like cardboard box, and they literally came into the classroom and they're like, where is Mr. Demetrius at? Like, they were coming for the smoke. And literally once they found me, it was gone. They jumped me.
See, you're a better man than me, because the Black Air Forces would have been laced up. Those kids wouldn't have stand a chance.
See, I couldn't. It was all play though. I'm just joking about that. But Children of the Corn, He Who Walks Behind the Rose. Oh, no. Yeah, so that's absolutely terrifying. Makes me afraid of cornfields, considering the fact that I lived in Iowa for a bit. So that was a bit terrifying. Next one, we have Leprechaun, which has some of the worst movies I've seen. But also really incredible, just a killer leprechaun attacking people. Those were definitely iconic, and then Sleepaway Camp as well.
Oh yeah, Sleepaway Camp's a great mini slasher movie. The main twist of that is that the killer was actually a little girl the whole time, and the fact that this little girl was actually a guy the whole time, which in that first Sleepaway Camp is pretty great considering what it was, and for its twist, and then the subsequent ones went down a cliff.
As they mostly do. So going from there, we do the Maybe We Shouldn't Have Kept It All in the Family.
Oh boy. All right. So the main one is Leatherface in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre series. He has perhaps an even more convoluted timeline than Michael Myers, considering that like almost every single sequel was pretty much a reboot.
That is true.
Which is kind of crazy. But as you know, like cannibalistic family, and a very incestuous one. But and Leatherface, he really him. He was pretty much one of the first. You know, cutting people's faces off, putting it on his own.
Yeah.
I mean, and using that chainsaw. I don't know what else to say about him. It's like so much so, he's a killer on Dead by Daylight alongside Michael and Freddy.
Yeah, so definitely Texas Chainsaw Massacre is one of the GOATs, easily, in terms of just movies, iconic. That sound of a chainsaw just like ramping up. I remember, I think it was Resident Evil 7, and you have to have like a chainsaw fight. Oh my goodness, that just like made me think of it. Just like, oh yeah,
chainsaw. That entire game was based on Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah. If you think about it, now that you mention it, definitely. So, yeah, even going from there, that maybe we shouldn't have kept it in the family aspect of it.
Okay, so the reason why I would say maybe we shouldn't have kept it in the family is that, like, it's very incestuous. Like, he pretty much, mother, pretty much a lot of these are, like, mothers who love their kids, which I'm just like,
Yes.
And then finally the next one on this list is The Hills Have Eyes.
Oh boy.
Bunch of murder cannibals, again, in the hills, who got, who's very incestuous. Like, they get mutated, but, they are. Oh, I hate talking about this one. Like, they're super incestuous. Like, I don't know how else to put it. Like, it's terrible. It's icky. It's gross, man.
Yeah.
Next one after that, the Wrong Turn series, which, bruh, it's basically another version of Hills Have Eyes. But it's literally the same movie. Let's just keep moving.
Don't get lost, people.
Yeah, let's just keep moving, because the Wrong Turn franchise is also another one that jumped off a cliff immediately.
Took a wrong turn off the cliff.
Took a wrong turn, went straight off the cliff, and then went straight to hell. But next one is Norman Bates in the Psycho series. You know, again, another of the grandpappies of slashers. Thing is, it's been kind of implied that he had a incestuous relationship with his mother, which is part of the reason why he went cray cray.
Yeah, which kind of dives into it in the, also the Bates Hotel TV show.
Yep. So that's why I pretty much put him in that category. So, yeah. pretty much that's all there is covered. Right.
So just shooting through this next section, all of these we've already covered, but we did notice that killers don't take off on holidays.
Yep. So of course, as we mentioned, we got Jason Voorhees. His holiday's Friday 13th, even though some people don't consider it a holiday, but I do. Got Michael Myers for Halloween, the Leprechaun for St. Patrick's Day. You got the Evil Santa for Christmas. Mm-hmm. You got My Bloody Valentine, which Valentine's Day. You got The Killers in Black Christmas, which another Christmas-based slasher film. Mm-hmm. You got Happy Death Day, which the Babyface Killer for that, that's pretty much for birthdays, right. Which is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I really liked the first movie. Second one kind of went off the rails.
That's what it does.
And then finally, The Purge. Mm-hmm. That one is the name of it is literally a holiday.
Yes.
And the Purge franchise, I say, like, first movie didn't execute on the premise. Mm-hmm. Then it went off.
Yo, it's crazy because, like, the first movie had the best trailer that a lot of people have ever seen before. And yep. It's, like, very original. And I've never actually seen the first one, but, like, I've seen some of the others. And I heard, like, the sequels were so much better than, like, the first one.
Yeah.
And then that, too, also got a show.
Yes, it did. Because the reason why the Purge, like, the reason why the second and subsequent ones are better than the first, because the first one literally just follows one family in one house. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a slash film.
I feel like that premise works, though, because there's that one where I forgot what the name of it is, but the woman, she's deaf, right? And, like, there's a killer that, like, sneaks into her
home. Oh, hush.
Yeah, so, like, I feel like one house, one family has worked before. Like, even Don't Breathe is mostly, like, 90% yeah. kind of like that. But yeah,
it works, but because of the fact of what the premise is about, like, a day or one night where all crime is legal, mm-hmm. most people were expecting to be like, okay, what's happening out there on the streets? Like, what is everybody doing?
That's fair. That makes sense. So, we wrapped up our little slashers. There might be some that we might have missed or that are much smaller, but we covered all of the big ones. But with that, we always like to reflect after a deep dive, but why are there so many bad just horror movies in general?
I think it's like a multitude of factors. But I think, like, the biggest one, and this one's actually attributed to video games, but I think it applies here as well, is the sense of, like, okay, the person who's directing or making the movie or writing it does not have any fears. So, like, how it was explained was that, like, when writing the Resident Evil franchise, was that, like, let's not even get into that, but like the main writer said, okay, he was asked by the director, like, what fears do you have? And then the guy said, I have none, and then he was fired. And then there was another guy who was brought on, and he's like, what fears do you have? And he kept listing them off, and he's like, all right, you're hired, write about it. Mm-hmm. And essentially, like, if the movie doesn't scare them, it most certainly will not scare us. Even though fear is subjective, but the thing is that, like, it's like, it's still, like, if it can still terrify most of the general populace, or, like, can get a rise out of them, that's where, like, the horror stands. So, pretty much most of the time, it's 99% of the time, it's direction. Mm-hmm. And people trying to cash grab on everything. That's why, like, a lot of these franchises that we saw kind of dove off a cliff after a while, because people got used to that specific character or specific horror. They know what they're expecting, or they're outright rooting for the villain. Yeah. That's in the case of me.
So I think just, like, the first ones are always like, okay, here's the actual story, here's the progression, here's why you're trying to escape this killer. Then the killer becomes iconic, and it becomes, like, as the sequels follow, just a gore fest. Mm-hmm. And that's what we kind of root for. But then also, since they just keep bringing back the killer over and over and over again, law of diminishing returns, because if you think we're not about to get another Halloween movie in, like, 15 years, you are tripping.
Yep.
So, just with that, I think it's just like, okay, so now it becomes nonsensical how they bring him back, like, each and every time, which is wild. So, just even going from there, what do you want to see next in this space?
Oh, man, let's see. Firstly, we need that new Friday 13th film. I'm not even going to cap, because They stopped at 12. Come on. The 13th Friday the 13th movie? Come on, man. So I'm going to need Sean Cunningham and I believe Victor Miller to get their act together and settle out that lawsuit in order to give us some good content. And then B, in terms of like slasher films, there's really not too much they can do considering it's practically all been done.
Right.
But what we can see is like, hey, maybe try to find like a new type of way of killing people. Maybe something that like something that appeals to the modern sensibilities. I think like that's one thing that's been happening a lot lately. Like slash films are commenting on like current times. So like why not do that? Maybe like it's like similar to Candyman, if you will. That was a take on, you know, on being black. And so like maybe comments on a lot of different things. I know there's this slasher movie on school shootings or like killer based on that, and that kind of was very controversial. But I think like
that would definitely be tough to watch.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of like a semi step in the right direction. Like somewhat either take modern issues, modern times, and then boom, horrify it.
Make a commentary on it as well, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I want to see.
I think for me, just for in general, well, with Flash, I would like a Joker-Batman-esque relationship between the killer and just like one of the survivors. I know like with Halloween, it wasn't too like that with Laurie and Michael.
Michael.
Yeah, but like kind of just like, oh, I need you. I'm doing this to like prove a point. Also like kind of mix in law abiding citizen where it's like, oh, I'm doing this to prove a point to you. And at the end of the day, you have learned something as like the person that we're rooting for. So kind of just like that interplay of it, I would be really interested in just with horror in general. Kind of like how we saw Prey, where it dove into a different era with a different culture. I would really love to see a slasher / horror film that dives into other cultures, but lets the people in the culture run through it or like survive it because they know it. Not just be like the guy that explains it to us, but the person actually experiencing it.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Also, hey, we need some more superhero horror movies. I'm not going to cap. Yeah.
Well, they did try it with the New Mutants.
Tried and failed. I'm just saying we need to do better. Maybe we're like super ass deal with a serial killer who's seemingly indestructible. There are millions of superhero horror comics. Pick one.
Mm, yeah. Honestly, the Batman, I know it wasn't horror, but the way it told the story would fit in that situation.
Yes. I say a lot of superhero horror deal with Batman, so
that's true.
Again, WB.
What if they did a Solomon Grundy? Because I haven't seen that like in the big screen. I remember the Arkham series where, oh my gosh, it was so hard beating him.
Oh bruh, that'd be good. That'd be so good.
I feel like he would be a number two villain and they would need like a number one though.
Yeah, they would. Or at least somebody manipulate the man.
Yeah.
But hey, make it work. Make it make sense.
Yeah, but that was our slasher analysis for today, and we're going to get into our sponsor.
All right, so our sponsor for today is Insane Media. If you want to delve into the minds of a madman, the minds of a serial killer, please join our program as we are looking for more interns to come to our asylum to converse and chat with the known great killers of our franchise. You may talk to those such as Freddy Krueger, you may talk to Leatherface, Jason Voorhees, or even Michael Myers, if he's still there. So please, come and check out our program now. We are not liable for any injuries or death that may occur on the premises.
Alright, so we're coming back with one of our favorite segments, and from what people have told us, one of their favorite segments, the Make Your Case segment. So this is a segment where we present a question, we give an answer to it, and just make our case and defend it. So, starting with that, we're going to go with who is the best slasher of all time?
Jason Voorhees, No hesitation. Let's keep it moving because I don't want to have to argue. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. The man's is crazy. The man's got a hockey mask. The man's is probably the most indestructible one. You kill him, he comes back. I don't know what else to say.
So Jason might sweep a lot of these, but going with that, yeah, he's definitely the best slasher of all time. I would say that just because of the iconic hockey mask might be more, I believe it's more iconic than the William Shatner Michael Myers mask. With that Friday the 13th, every time you say that, you immediately think of Jason, mm-hmm. whether you're a horror fan or not. Then also just like also the hatchet that he has, also iconic.
Machete,
that's what it is, yes. So the machete that he has, also iconic. And just like the hulking figure of it, definitely best slasher to me. Going from there, this is going to be complicated. Who would win a battle royale?
So who's in the battle royale?
So let's go with everyone we listed.
Oh, if it's every last one of them that we mentioned, I would probably have to go with Pinhead.
Oh, yeah, the supernatural aspect to it.
Yeah, considering like he's from hell, he kind of, he got the chains on lock. He could, like, that scene in the bar where he ran through everybody in the third movie, I was like, and like, there's the only concrete way to kill him is either with like another box, it's like figuring out the puzzle box to get him back, or like becoming a Cenobite yourself and killing him. So it's like, how you gonna take him out?
My only defense of Jason. No, actually, you're right. I can't say, because Jason has gotten got a lot of times.
Yeah.
He gets resurrected, and he's technically not human anymore, but he wouldn't. If we did remove the supernatural aspect of Hellraiser Pinhead, I would say that Jason would win as long as he stayed away from the Leatherface.
I would even say like he could possibly even take Leatherface, because there was actually a comic on that.
I would say he would beat him straight up, but if he got jumped, I feel like one of the things that a lot of horror movies don't do is that a lot of it is, I shoot you. For whatever reason, they shoot the body, or I'll stab you. But they never decapitate until like the very end of the movie. So with a chainsaw, I feel like Leatherface could actually do the most damage in the fight. The problem is that Leatherface is human, so he would have to sneak him.
Yeah, and also not all there in the head and not the brightest, so he probably wouldn't think of that.
More. All right, so next one. Most brutal killer.
I mean, Jason really kind of got that on lock, my guy. Do I have to mention sleeping bag? Do I have to mention liquid nitrogen?
Oh boy.
Do I have to mention everything that he did over the course of his life? Because he kind of went crazy.
And there's one, I don't remember, but he tossed the person out the window. And they're still alive.
Yeah.
And then he picked that person up and he put them in like a trash can with water in it. And he just like shook them up until they drowned. I was like, oh my goodness, he's not playing.
Yep. And we mentioned it before with the, in Freddy vs. Jason with the bed kill, but then there's also the Cornfield Massacre.
Yes.
Mans was on fire and still slashing folks left and right. He went crazy. His
only problem is water. That would actually be another downfall if the Battle Royale had like a water.
Okay, I actually have a thing about that. So it's not that Jason's afraid of water, right? Like, you think that's his weakness, but the real thing is that he was only ever weak to that in the dream world, where he was in his mind. In every single movie, you saw him go through water swimming like normal.
That's true.
It was only in the dreamscape where water was his weakness, because of the fact he was in the dream world where Freddy had full control.
That's fair, because in a lot of movies, he does start out. I remember the one where he gets electrocuted, and then he walks, and then he comes back to life, and then he walks out the water. And a lot of other ones, he is like underneath the boardwalk, and then he grabs people. So that's true. So
yep.
But Freddy could manipulate that in a battle royale.
Is he physically there, or is he in the dream world?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, because if he's physically there,
he has no chance.
He's done for.
All right, so next one, most creative killer. For me, it came down to two people. Freddy Krueger because he's in the dreams.
Yep.
Or Chucky because he has to finesse because he's a doll.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm rolling with my boy Chucky because he has some kills that I have. Just because he has to manufacture, like, Freddy can manipulate it in a way that it's a dream world. So obviously, like, he has, like, an advantage. But Chucky, he's much more smaller, he's weaker, like,
he'd be methodical.
Yes, a lot of people, you'd be like, how in the world does this doll take me out? Like, a lot, like, even if I put it here right now, we'd both be like, yo, we could take Chucky. And then Chucky would, like, put us down. Like, that's how it goes, and most of the time he sneaks people, but, so that would definitely be, for me, I gotta roll with Chucky.
Yeah, honestly, like, that's actually a really compelling argument. I was gonna say Freddy, because of the dream aspect of it, like the fact of like he, it's not even just like, okay, he just stabbed you with the knife while he's in dream. No, he does, like, the method that he uses to kill people is based on that person's particular fear or insecurity or anything like that. Like, for example, when he injected that girl who had an addiction habit with the needles,
right?
Or how, like, he turned this one girl into a cockroach because she was scared of bugs and then crushed her. Or even, when he was in that video game and he decided to, like, you know what, let me just become an unbeatable boss.
Right.
Like, his kills get out of pocket in the dream world.
That's true.
But, again, and his only downfall is, like, hey, if you awake or you bring him into the real world,
yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah, so definitely, even though he's known for the, like, the knife glove, he's so creative in the way he just kills people. So yep. That's definitely a good one. So for our final question, what's scarier, a talker or a non-talker?
Ooh. Oh, man. That one's a real rough one. And I could see both sides of it, right? Mm-hmm. But here's my thought process with a talker, right? You know, he's talking, you know, he's able to cognitively think, meaning he can think of more ways to take you out. But also the fact, like, if he's a talker, he can make you, like, you can perhaps, like, get into the false hope of, like, you can talk him down or, like, you can reason with him. When there's absolutely no chance that's happening, which I don't know if that's more terrifying or just you see him, there's nothing, or you just see a silent killer, there's just nothing you can do, you just gotta go. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, I'm 50-50 on that one.
Bro, you literally made my case about the talker one, because with talkers, like, even just Chucky and a Freddy Krueger. And if we even want to go deeper, just for in general, a Saw, a jigsaw. So, like, he manipulates you in a way where you think you can actually live. But, like, it's, like, psychological, where it adds to your terror. Where, like, sometimes you can be like, okay, this is it for me. It's up. And the killer be like, oh, you thought you were going that quickly? No, let's have some more fun or something like that. Like, so they can, like, psychologically damage you before you're breaking. I remember, I think it was like an anime or something where it's like the person, they had resolve about, like, dying or whatever. And then the person came to them and they broke their resolve in that, and they made them terrified and scared. And it was just, like, wild how they did that. So, oh. But with a talker, I feel like it's more, a non-talker, it drives you to more instinctual, animalistic behaviors where it's like, I just gotta live because I can't beg for my life. I'll try to run. I'll keep running. I don't feel safe. And, like, one of the main things of being human is, like, you want to feel safe. But for me, I'm going with the non-talker because just of the psychological aspect that it can add to it.
Yeah. I think I might go with that too. Like, I'm not even gonna care. Either way, I don't want to deal with either of them.
All right, so today we just had a good episode today. We got really in-depth with our killers again, so next week we're going to be doing our Black Adam review. And just with that, we had a lot of, whoa, I hear footsteps and whispers. I do not want to be here. I hear a noise, and number one rule is do not investigate. So I'm out.
And little does he know that those footsteps were me and my friend, the next inductee into the Black Air Force table, Mr. Jason Voorhees. You, sir, I don't even have to explain why you are the GOAT. I don't have to explain why, because, but I'm going to do it anyways just to give you your roses, your praises, sir. Firstly, your fit, absolute fire. I mean, hockey mask, iconic, instantly recognizable. You perhaps had some of the greatest kills in franchise history, so much so that people are still debating it to this day with that nitrogen, that liquid nitrogen kill, or that sleeping bag kill. You had that swagger, that y'all meaner about you, you know, where you, as soon as you turn your head, you know it was that time that somebody was gonna catch bodies. And plus, hey, you're a family man. You love your mother. Like, what's not there to love about that? And hey, if anybody wants to dare challenge your authority about your mother, then hey, you can just do every single way of killing them imaginable, sir. And even when you think they can kill you, you can just possess people. I mean, come on now. You can possess people's bodies. You can just say, oh, nope, I'm back. What's good? And don't forget that time you fought, not Carrie, Miss Tina Shepherd. and perhaps your best appearance of all time where, and your best, like, look, where you were just a straight-up demonic zombie. Like, everything rotting, like, the mask was, like, chipped in the right place. Like, that was the perfect appearance of you. Wish that they could have kept that appearance, but of course not. But hey, you out here, you doing your thing, you the best of the best, you out here killed, you out here defeating Freddy Krueger, you used his own razor glove against him. Like, how do you even do that, sir? How? And then finally, the biggest thing of all, you never got caught lacking. Unlike a certain Michael Myers, even when you were pinned down, you have that zombie supernatural strength to get right back up. There was no ifs, ands, or buts on whether you were supernatural or not, because you was. And also, the biggest theory is the fact that you're technically a Deadite, because of the fact that Necronomicon was in part 9. And the fact that you are, that just elevates you up another tier, sir. So please, come get these Black Tims, lace them up. I know you need them. And to just go out here and murk everybody in this club. I'm your biggest fan. I'm your biggest supporter. Just please don't take me out, sir, because I'm trying to be like you. As a matter of fact, do take me out, because I want to come back as an immortal zombie too. In fact, do it.
All right. So, yeah, I'm definitely not visiting Camp Crystal Lake anytime soon. So while Jason has his forces, he can also get a black hockey mask just for the upgrade. So, going from there, again, we did have just a good time. This wraps up our Halloween-themed aspect of the podcast in Season 2. So, for real, we're going to be reviewing Black Adam movie next week. Excited for that. I've heard nothing but good things. I think he's going to, quote-unquote, save DC, which is a part of Warner Brothers, which is, quote-unquote, not going broke.
They are dying right now.
Hemorrhaging money, apparently. So, good luck. When Disney buys you, we're not going to say anything. But yeah, you got any recommendations? I know a lot of what we touched on, you said that just the horror.
Yeah, so pretty much as I said, like all of these movies that we referenced, every last one of them is found on the Shudder app. Again, it's another $5 service, like a $5 subscription, where you can get access to all these favorite horror movies that you can find to this day. And in fact, if you don't want to get another subscription service, then hey, you can find the Friday the 13th, as well as the Freddy vs. Jason movie and the Nightmare on Elm Street movie on HBO Max.
Nice.
So hey, if you want to take a look at some greatness, then hey, you got those movies on HBO Max to sully your horror needs. And currently, Halloween Ends is in theaters, as well as on Peacock streaming app if you got it. So
maybe that's how I should have watched it instead of wasting money.
I mean, it wouldn't work for me because I don't have Peacock, so
fair. One other recommendation, just Chucky, his TV series. It comes out every Wednesday. I'm not sure how long they're on it, but it comes out every Wednesday on USA or Sci-Fi.
Yes, yes. And the first two episodes of that are on YouTube on their on that respective Sci-Fi channel, because which is where I watched it. So, yeah, please, please do it, because that show's so good.
It is incredible. So let's get into our plugs.
All right. So what we have here today is our Instagram and our Twitter, which is at BlurredCity22. Please come check us out. Give us a follow, a like, as well as stay up to date on all our release schedules. And then from there, we also have our YouTube, which is Blurred City Pod, and our Patreon, which is also Blurred City Pod. And that's where you can like subscribe, you can donate money to us, so that way you can get access to very exclusive content not ever seen on the Blurred City Podcast before or since. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get access to extra content that and you just want to hear our voices more, then hey, go ahead and do that. We got like different character saves, such as Gara of the Sand, as well as different show and movie reviews, such as Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. If you still haven't seen that movie at this point, then what are you doing? But then finally, we have our email at blurredcity22@gmail.com, where you can submit Geek Out Freak Out segments, as well as random fan theories, as well as questions for our Q&A episodes. And then finally, we have our Discord, which can be found in our Instagram page. And that's where you can come in and join like a humongous community, and you get to learn all about us as people, as well as you get to just hang out with folks. And you can even hang out with us whenever we're streaming games on there. So yeah, I know for me, I'll be streaming my entire horror bag. So hey, better jump on it.
We're both PS5'd up now, so. Going from there, I'll go into my individual author pages. We got my Instagram, which is metri_dash, so METRI_DASH, and my Twitter at themad-16, THEMADASH16. So, as usual, we're going to leave you with some words of encouragement.
All right, so for our words of encouragement today, I just want to say that, like, in order to survive in life, right, you're going to face many different type of challenges, face many different type of people who may or may not be up to snuff, who may be out there trying to intentionally take you down. And there are many situations that you may find yourselves in that you may seem unsafe about. I just got to remember to lock in and to trust your gut instinct. If your gut instinct is telling you to, like, hey, this may not be necessarily the right area, leave. Like, if you're in your car and you're driving to a certain place, and like, let's say a gas station, and you feel like that place may not necessarily be the safe place to go get gas, even though your tank may be running on E, just try to find another one and try to find a different area, because it's better that you leave and may spend more money rather than try to go for cheap and lose your life.
Yeah. So absolutely incredible advice. I don't need to add anything else. Just lock in, people. So as we go every week, it's not goodbye forever. It's just goodbye for now. And that's the Blurred City Podcast.
And see you later.